This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah. This morning, as we prepare our spirit for what the Lord will be doing in these 3 days, I want to open up something that I will be dealing with throughout the remaining the 3 days of our prayer and fasting. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1-9, which will be the foundation of our discussion on this topic. Amen. It says, the same day when Jesus out of the house, I'm reading from verse 1, and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore and spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was come up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Number, it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Now, we are going to employ in these 3 days every weapon or every spiritual weapon available to us in our spiritual arsenal to enforce the will of God over the last quarter of this year, 2025. That is, you and I are going to make sure that the year truly ends for us the way our Heavenly Father has intended for it to end for us. That is, we'll be employing these 3 days every weapon available to us to ensure that the year does not end up like previous years. Understand, friends, that every year should be an improvement of the previous year. Every year should be an improvement. Every new year should be better than the past year, because the promises of God are very clear in regards to that. And one of those promises is Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 that tells us, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So it is expected that this year should end for you better than how last year ended for you. And also 2026 should be better than this 2025. Now, this is to say, if that must be true in your life, if that must be true in my life, then you and I must maximize holy convocations like this. We must take advantage of times of prayer and fasting like this to be able to enforce and allow the will of God to come to pass in our life. And I pray for you in this season that only what God intends for you will happen in the name of Jesus. Now, understand that life is more spiritual than physical. That is, when you take advantage of spiritual weapon, then you are able to subdue in the natural. The reason why many are not able to subdue in the natural is because they are not employing the spiritual weapon God has given to them. And these 3 days, we are going to be seeking the Lord. We are going to be, you know, submitting our hearts to Him. We are going to maximize His presence. We're going to take advantage of the Word of God. We're going to pray. We're going to dedicate ourselves to seeking and searching, so that by the end of December, when you and I gather together for the crossover night service, you will say, truly, it was a good year. And I declare that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. I say that will be your testimony in the name of Jesus. I prophesy over you this morning, this year will end well for you in the name of Jesus. I say this year will end well for you in the name of Jesus. This month of September, it marks the beginning of delivery of that which God has given to you in the name of Jesus. That which you have been pregnant of, I declare in this month of September, you will deliver and deliver well in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, give the Lord your praise this morning. So this morning we're looking at what our title, I Correct the Error. I Correct the Error. From the text where we have read, when you appropriate and apply the revelational truth that is locked up in that text, you and I are able to break out of all forms of confinement. You can break out of limitation within the remaining 4 months, that you are able to accomplish so much more than you have accomplished in the last 8 months, when you take advantage of the text, when you look into the truth and revelation locked up in that text, as you and I apply them to our lives, we are able to break all forms of limits, go beyond boundaries, and command, you know, the will and the purposes of God for us in this last 4 months to manifest. Now, when you look at that story very well, they gathered together to meet Jesus. When they gathered, Jesus began to speak to them in parable. He gave them a parable of a sower who went to sow. While the sower was busy sowing, the bag of seed in his hands fell on four dimensions of soil. And we'll be looking at that this morning. The bag of seed in the hands of the sower fell on four dimensions of soil. Number one, some fell by the wayside. Number two, some fell by stony ground. Some fell among thorns. And the fourth one, they fell in good ground. They fell in good grounds. Now, it is the same farmer, the same sower, the same seed, has the same capacity, the same capability, the same ability. But by the time the seeds hit the ground, their results were different. By the time those seeds get to the ground, their results were different. All of the seeds in the hands of the farmer or the sower had the same ability. They had the same capability. They had the same capacity. But by the time those seeds hit the ground, some of them, by the virtue of the soil which they entered into, they were rendered useless. Some of them, birds came and ate them up. Some fell into stony grounds where it had no much nutrient, and because of the shallowness of the soil, the sun came and destroyed them. I declare over you, nothing will destroy you in this season in the name of Jesus. I say nothing will destroy you in the name of Jesus. Now, some of them fell among thorns, and the thorns choked the life out of them. Then some fell on good grounds. Even the ones that fell on good grounds, when you look at their results were still not the same. The Bible says some had 100-fold, some had 60-fold, some had 30-fold. They fell on good grounds. Inasmuch as they fell on good grounds, their results were still not the same. Their results were still not the same. And I pray for you today, may your result in this season be 100-fold in the name of Jesus. There will not be reduction of testimony for you in the name of Jesus. There will not be reduction of results in the name of Jesus. I declare you will not get 30-fold. You will not get 60-fold. I announce over you 100-fold in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. And every time God, when you look at the scriptures very well, when you study the Bible, every time God talks about a seed, he is referring to humans. He is referring to a destiny. Every time God talks about a seed in scriptures. In the book of Genesis, the Bible called Jesus the seed of the woman. Now, when you look also, when you talk about seed in the Bible, it is often a metaphor for describing humans. It is often a metaphor for describing humans. In Genesis 15, God said to Abraham that his seed shall be strangers in a foreign land, and after 400 years, he will come and deliver them from that slavery, from that oppression. And he was not going to stop there. He will also punish their oppressors. I pray for you. Anyone that has been oppressing your life, may they experience the judgment of God in this season, in the name of Jesus. So in the context of our test, now let's use the same seed as a metaphor for you and I, and the sower as a metaphor for the Almighty God. Before you were born, regardless of where you were born into or who your parents were, you were a seed with God, who is the sower. You were in his program, in his plans, in his agenda. Now, this is the mystery of predestination. Before you were born, you were already in existence. Before you were born, you were already in existence. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the scripture says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That is to say, before Jeremiah became a biological formation, he was already in the know. Before Jeremiah became a biological formation, he was already ordained as a prophet to the nations, concerning our Lord Jesus Christ as well. You will also see the mystery of predestination. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 13 verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names names are not written in the book of the Lamb, life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All of them, they will worship this Lamb who has been slain before the foundation of the world. This Lamb who has been slain from the foundation. So it means, friends, before the world began, before the first sin was committed, Jesus was already sacrificed. He was already sacrificed. He was the Lamb that was slain to take away the sins of the world from the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve sinned, salvation was already prepared. That is the mystery of predestination. So friends, before your father met your mother, you were already in the know. You were already in the knowledge of God. You were already in the know to God. Therefore, I pray for you this morning, everything that heaven has locked up on the inside of you by the wings and on the wings of these 3 days, may they find expression in the name of Jesus. I say, may they find expression in the name of Jesus. That which you have been pregnant with in this 9th month, I prophesy, you shall deliver well in the name of Jesus. I say, you shall birth it in the name of Jesus. That miracle, you will birth it in the name of Jesus. That favor, you will birth it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. So therefore, whatever you are believing God to become is already available. Why? Your eyes have not seen, the scripture says. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what the Lord has prepared for you. My friend, there is something God has prepared for you. Whether the devil likes it or not, that which has been prepared, it will manifest in the name of Jesus. Oh, I came with good news this morning to announce over you that which God prepared, whether the devil likes it or not, it will manifest in the name of Jesus. I say it will manifest in the name of Jesus. Your prepared testimony shall manifest in the name of Jesus. And I declare over you today, nothing will stop your manifestation in the name of Jesus. Celebrate the Lord if you believe it this morning. Give Jesus praise. Give him praise. So what you will require to fulfill destiny has been prepared. It has been prepared. Oh, you're a single lady, you're believing God for a husband. Husband has been prepared. A young man, believing God for wife. Wife, prepared. Business breakthrough, prepared. He has prepared. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not. For the fact that you have not seen it with your optic eyes or heard it with your natural ears doesn't mean it has not been prepared. The preparation has nothing to do with natural elements. The preparation is by the sovereignty of the Almighty God. The king of the mystery of predestination. Thunder, it is prepared. Thunder, it is prepared. Give Jesus praise if you believe it this morning. Oh, it is prepared. Your possession, your inheritance, your future, your path has been prepared. And so when you understand this, you will never be anxious for nothing. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known. So that is what you should do this weekend, these 3 days. Make your request known. Make your request known, because you know it is prepared. Make your request known. It's like someone who goes to make withdrawal, knowing fully well that the money is available in the account. My friend, it is available in the account. You didn't hear me say it is available in the account. Go boldly with the ATM card. Withdraw what you need for this season. And I declare over you, you will not give up. You will not surrender. You will not back out in the name of Jesus. You will not be double-minded in making withdrawal. Haven't you seen when someone receives their salary, they are bold. They stand at the ATM as the king of the ATM. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. He's been prepared. Oh, it has been prepared. And the Apostle Paul now tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. He predestinated you. After predestination, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then justified you. After justifying you, he now glorified you. I declare, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. I say, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. So child of God, don't be deceived by what you are going through. Don't be deceived by what is going through you. You are on a transition. What you're going through is not a destination. All you need to do is get a revelation of what you are already in God. And by that revelation, put a demand. By that revelation, put a demand. By the revelation of what you are already, you are already in the know, in the knowledge of God. Put a demand. That is why when you come boldly. The book of Hebrews tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come. He said you should come. Stop running. Come boldly that you may obtain. There is help available for you. I pray for you in this season. Every help you require in this month of September, receive it in the name of Jesus. Come boldly based on the revelation of the truth you know. Hallelujah. So that which you are seeing with your optic eyes is temporal. That which is not seen with the optic eyes is eternal. And I pray for you again this morning. I release my faith on your behalf and I agree with you. Whatever God has prepared for you, whatever God has prepared for you before your parents ever thought of coming together, I decree and I declare you will walk in them in the name of Jesus. You will manifest them in the name of Jesus. So when you left eternity into time, that was where destiny was corrupted. When the seeds were with the sower, listen friends, they were capable of becoming anything because their capacity was the same, their potential was the same, their ability was the same. But when they left the hands of the sower, their results became different. When the seeds left eternity into time, the soil in which they fell into affected their output. When you left predestination into the destination of time and season, and you landed in the ground called a family, that became what has determined the result of the seed, the result you are manifesting. That became what has determined the result you're manifesting. Some of you have landed in a family where the birds of the air is not letting you rest. Some of you have landed in a family, you know, where the scorching of the sun is heavy on you. Some have landed in a family where thorns are just poking you, poking marriage, poking your life, poking your health, poking your mind, poking your business, poking career, poking everything, poking your children. For those who have children, the thorns are not letting you rest. The thorns poking everywhere, poking everything. You rise, the thorn is available, poking. Some have landed in a family, you know, where something keeps choking the life out of them. I don't know who you are. I pray for you. That which has been choking you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are delivered from it in the name of Jesus. When you were with God, you had a great destiny and you still have a great future and a glorious future. When you entered into this kind of family, some of you, your chances diminished. A family where no lady ever gets married. Here you are. You want to rise to get married. And the family, the soil reminds you that you have landed in a stony ground. Behave yourself. A family where nobody ever amounts to anything. Everybody being wasted, as intelligent as they are. Everybody being wasted. Everybody being wasted. Now the thorny ground begins to remind you that no, behave yourself. In this place, there are thorns that poke. And some of you have been married into families where the family is a stony ground. And by association, collateral damage. Collateral damage. Hallelujah. Friends, use these 3 days to correct every error. Use these 3 days with holy anger. Correct every error. Every error that occurred while you were being transiting, when you were transiting to the earth, every error. I want you to declare that with these 3 days, I'm going to correct every, and I pray for you, the error will be corrected in the name of Jesus. I said the error will be corrected in the name of Jesus. Some landed in a ground. Some landed in a good soil. And in as much as they're in a good soil, their result is still 30-fold, 60-fold. Hallelujah. Every seed, listen friends, every seed is loaded with potential. Why? In every seed is a tree. In every seed is plenty fruit. In every seed is a shelter. In every seed is a forest. Every forest you see today started as a seed. That is why you cannot really completely understand what a seed in your hands can become, because the potential of the seed in your hands is enormous. And for many of you listening to me this morning, you are not even aware of the potentials you are loaded with. You have no clue of God's deposit in your life. Why? Because of the soil you landed into. You have no idea of the assignment of heaven that you have been decorated with. You have been packaged to fulfill. The greatness that lies within you. You have no idea. Why? Because of the soil you landed into. And if you don't rise to correct the effect of the ground that you fell into as a seed, the ground can corrupt, it can pervert, it can delay, it can destroy destiny. I pray for you this morning, as your amen will thunder this morning, receive the grace to correct every error in the name of Jesus. I say receive the grace to correct every error in the name of Jesus. Some of you, if the ground you fell into know who you are, they will have treated you better. Mary, the mother of Jesus, thought she was carrying just a child. But she didn't know that the child she was carrying was actually her Savior. She didn't know she was carrying her Savior. She didn't know. She didn't know that the child she was carrying was actually her Savior. When Mary was in the labor, and if the people in the inn where she delivered knew who they were delivering, they would have evacuated all the guests in the inn. It was only the wise men who knew who he was. They had a glimpse. The wise men had a glimpse. Those sorcerers had a glimpse. That is why often only forces of hell truly have an idea of who a believer is. The sorcerers had a glimpse. They followed the star, because by sorcery and divination, by enchantment and witchcraft, they knew there is an unusual human being that has been birthed. There is someone that is not ordinary. And they followed the star. They followed. When they arrived in their wickedness, they gave him an offering as a king. Because they know that, inasmuch as this man is being given birth to in a manger, this is a king. This is a king. This is a king. I don't know where you were birthed, but I came to announce over you the reason and the purpose God called you, it will manifest in the name of Jesus. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. Only the sorcerers, the Sadducees, far to see, wicked to see, no seeing anything. They didn't see who Jesus was. All the prophet didn't see when he arrived. Only witches. Oh, you're wondering why you're being battled. The reason the enemy fights you, because the enemy saw who you are, in as much as your parents didn't know who you were, or who you are rather. That's why the enemy is fighting you. Those sorcerers, if God has not visited them, they will have destroyed Jesus, because they will have returned back to Herod, giving him an intel, and Herod will have fished out Jesus. But God met them in the night and said, don't go back. Don't follow that way. Follow another way. But all the prophets, nobody knew that the king has arrived. The reason why you treat yourself less is because you don't know the package of heaven locked up on your inside. And often the family you're born into don't even know what you are loaded with. They don't know what you are loaded with. And I believe as well, if they know, they probably will have treated you differently. I pray for you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, whatever is trying to choke your life, whatever is trying to choke your destiny, I command it be corrected by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever is trying to pervert your life, be corrected by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever is trying to poke you, I command be corrected by fire in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. The same sower, the same seed, the same capacity, the same ability, but different results. Friends, if you do not maximize the benefits of redemption, the family you were born into can tamper and derail who you were ordained to be and who you were called or destined to be. It can frustrate you. It can frustrate what you are called to accomplish. It can interfere with your greatness and stop it from becoming. Many have been stopped, even though they are born again. Because they did not maximize redemption. And that is why every error has to be corrected. I pray for you, every error in these 3 days must be corrected in the name of Jesus. I say it will be corrected in the name of Jesus. When you look at that scripture that Jesus gave to us, that parable, you will notice that every seed that fell by the wayside is naturally vulnerable to the vultures of life. And some of you listening to me, your life has become the constant attention of the vultures and the birds of the air, because they have found you as a seed by the wayside. And that's why you must plug yourself in, plant yourself firmly into the way. It's a different thing for you to be born as a seed in a wayside and you remain there. And a different thing for you to tell yourself, I may have been born by the wayside, but I choose to follow the way. Because he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. I choose to follow the way so that my wayside birth will not hinder what God has already called me for. Hallelujah. Many are born by the wayside. Wayside family, the birds of the air keeps finding you. And there are many great seeds that has been born by the wayside. Many of you, great seed, but you fell by the wayside. So birds of the air, witchcraft attack everywhere. You can't seem to have a moment of peace. And you keep living it. Keep saying, well, what's going to be is going to be. What goes on must come down. What's going to be is going to be. There's nothing you can do about it. You better wake up. You better wake up. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise this morning. Some are falling by the wayside of demonic tradition, satanic customs. Demonic tradition, satanic customs. And those things are keeping them incapacitated, keeping them bound. I pray for you today. Everywhere that you have been a victim of the fowls of the air that is tampering with who God has ordained for you to be, I decree and I declare you are delivered in the name of Jesus. You are set free. You are rescued in the name of Jesus. When you are a seed by the wayside, you are always vulnerable to the fowls of the air. And the Bible talked about another seed that fell upon the stony places. The seed has capacity to grow. It has capacity to produce. The challenge with this seed was it has not much, and it didn't have much soil, which is a metaphor for a seed that is born into a family that has never enough. They never had enough. The Bible talked about this seed. It fell. Put that verse for me. The Bible talked about this. It fell into stony ground. And because it didn't have enough soil, some fell upon stony place. Thank you so much. They had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up. You can see this seed wants to manifest. They sprang up, but because there is no depth, no deepness, they see that the soil is shallow. There are many who, they were doing well, but not enough. They were born into a family that was not enough, or maybe they're doing well, all of a sudden their father died. And what used to be enough became not enough. Most girls today that found themselves in prostitution is because they were born into families that were not enough. When you listen to some of those girls, you can see intelligent ladies. Not enough love, not enough parental care, not enough resources to send them to school. Not enough, never enough. This seed had potential. You can see it sprang up. I'm going to grow. But there was no enough soil to give it nutrients. The seed fell into a family with not enough, without enough parental care, without enough resources to help pursue dreams, without enough spiritual capacity. That is why you must build enough for your children. Because there must be an error you stop. Thus far have you come, Satan. You go no further beyond this point. In verse 6, the Bible said, when the sun rises, the seed was scorched and the seed withered away. I pray for you. You will not wither away in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I said, you will not wither away in the name of Jesus. Your children will not wither away in the name of Jesus. So many are victims of the scorching of the sun of life. Many of you found yourself in families that never had enough. I came from one of those kind of families. Never enough. I can't remember ever owning a textbook. Never enough. Seven children. Seven. Only you. Never enough. I told myself, no, it will not be my children. First of all, I did family planning before I even married. I told myself, only two children. If they are only girls, I don't mind. The only boys, only two. Two. What am I producing children for? Am I a replenish the earth? The earth is already replenished. The reason I wanted to, so that I can, even if I had nothing, I'll be able to manage them well. Because I saw what having plenty children with nothing cost my family. Two. Listen, I'm not saying you should do family planning. If you already have three, stop somewhere. You have to stop. Yes, I'm telling you to stop. Yes. Stop. Put some brakes. Stop somewhere. You don't have to like me on this. Stop somewhere. Not enough. Not enough. We started well. I was going to nice school. The next thing, second child came. My privileges reduced. I said, okay, well, I can manage with this stony-headed boy. I never liked that boy because now you have come to share portion. We are still talking. My younger sister came. Privileges dropped further. Now, privileges were dropping. Kids were multiplying. Resources was not multiplying. We are still trying to manage three. At least now we can share among three people. Number four arrived. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Not enough. If I didn't meet Jesus, my story wouldn't have changed. Met Jesus as a teenager, and that became the story, the change of my journey. Many have been born into families, not enough. Not enough. Not enough. Not enough. I pray for you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the wings of these 3 days, that error is corrected in the name of Jesus. I said the error is corrected in the name of Jesus. I declare every error of the stony ground, every error of not enough, every error of not enough soil that permits for growth, I correct it today in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us of the third seed that fell among thorns. When the seed fell among thorns, the seed was not aware that it has fallen among thorns until the seed started growing. And was now looking for space and allowance. Then the seed realized it has been among thorns. And the thorns choked the life out of it. Many are suffering with certain things because they are falling among thorns. Many are good seeds, but they are falling among thorns. Thorns have not allowed your life find expression. Things are just choking you. You are trying to become, but the thorns are choking you. Thorns are choking you. If nothing is done soon, you may soon be out of life. And that is why you must take advantage of these 3 days. This is 3 days that you must not give your... Bible says, give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth. Many of you are not aware of the thorns in your family. But if you carefully observe, you will discover that everybody have been incapacitated in that family by the thorns in that family. Friends, your family is not your destination. You are a seed with a future. And God allowing you to hit that soil knows that in spite of the thorns, you can break through. So he's telling you, correct the error so that what you are to become is not tampered with. Correct it. Being born again has given us the advantage to correct things. And this morning I declare, whatever thorn has tampered with your life, tampered with your assignment, by the anointing of God in this atmosphere, I declare it is corrected by fire in the name of Jesus. Hear this, friends. Hear this. If You know, you may, you're listening and say, well, is it, you know, the family I came from, is it that important? Yes, it is. If the family you were born into is not important, then the Bible will not have taken the time to give us the genealogy of our Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible wouldn't have taken the time to give us the genealogy if it was not important. A person's genealogy is so important that if you do not pay attention to it, it can affect your destiny. Where you are coming from, listen, friends, where you are coming from is of great importance. Even in the medical science, you know, there are certain sicknesses you have, for example, diabetes. You know, when you have diabetes, the first thing they ask you is, I think we have doctors here who can confirm. Oh, they ask you is there anybody in your family who has it? The first of all question for me, they're not even asking if you're eating sugar or drinking Coca-Cola. The first thing they ask, family history, is there anyone in the family that has it? That's the first thing they ask. If it's not important, why is medical science asking you about your family history with diabetes? With high blood pressure, why are they asking family history? That tells you how important family history and genealogy is. And can I tell you this? When Jesus was to be born, listen carefully, he could have been born into three prominent tribes in Israel. But why didn't God allow that? Three tribes. God bypassed three tribes to allow Jesus to be born into the fourth tribe. Why? He could have been born into the tribe of Reuben. Why? The tribe of Reuben was the tribe of the firstborn. And Jewish tradition requires that should have been the case. Traditionally, that should have been the case because the blessing always rests on the firstborn. So that could have been the case. But when God looked at the tribe of Reuben, he saw a curse, the curse of unstable as water. So he will not allow the Savior to be born into a tribe that has the curse of instability. The second option was the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi, this is the tribe of the priesthood. But this tribe, God bypassed them again. Why? They had serious anger issues. Their anger issue was so terrible, as a result, it brought a curse on that tribe. When you look at Moses, because of his anger, he didn't enter the promised land. Moses, the Bible said, was the meekest man on the earth. Yet, the meekest man had a volcanic anger. An anger that can destroy things. That anger issue interfered seriously with the assignment of Moses. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, in his anger, this man didn't fear God. In his anger, he broke the tablet containing the Ten Commandments that God used his handwriting to write. That was how angry this man was. It took God 40 days and him fasting for 40 days for the Ten Commandments to be written on the tablet, and Moses arrived. Put the scripture on the screen. When Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned. There are families where the kind of anger you see in that family is not normal. You see a lady so angry, she can kill 10 men at once. And you think it's normal anger. Every boyfriend she has chased away with anger. Every boyfriend, she has used knife and stabbed them. She gets angry. She gets the kitchen knife and stabbed them. Now when men see her, they take off. Anger. Amen. Bible says he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. Moses, in another incident, out of anger, disobeyed and dishonored God terribly. You find that in Numbers chapter 20, verse 10 to 11. Every time Moses was not happy with a situation, his anger destroyed divine agenda. He destroyed the tablet containing 10 commandments. God wrote it with his handwriting. And this man didn't fear God out of anger. Are you coming from such a place where you guys get angry unnecessarily? The reason why they have been firing you in that office, not because you're not competent, but your anger issue will not allow you to respect your boss. Amen. The designation of Moses' assignment, when you read very well, his assignment was he will bring them out of the land of bondage and take them into the promised land. But he brought them out, but because of anger, he could not take them in. Because of the thorn of anger in the tribe of Levi, Moses ended his assignment halfway. I pray for you, no thorn will force you to end your assignment halfway in the name of Jesus. You are delivered from that thorn in the name of Jesus. So God had to bypass the tribe of Levi, the priesthood tribe, because God knew that I cannot put the Savior in this tribe. If family genealogy was not important, why did God bypass them? Why did he bypass them? When Moses was about to die, he prayed a very important prayer for the same tribe of Reuben. He said, let Reuben live and not die. Do you know why? Every time Israel went for war, it was the tribe of Reuben that lost more men. And Moses discovered, every time they go for war, they come back. When they are accounting for men, the tribe of Levi has lost so many people. Moses discovered that, and he knew that if I don't stop this, the men kept getting fewer and fewer and fewer. He had to intercede. In Numbers 20, in Deuteronomy 33 verse 6, he said, let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few, because at the rate they are going, they will soon be wiped out. Family was not important. In Genesis 49, when Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, was about to die, he numbered his children, blessed and cursed them accordingly. That is where now you see what happened to the tribe, the third tribe, the tribe of Simeon. When Moses was dying, in the book of, actually, before I get to where Moses was dying, in Genesis 49, 5 to 7, listen to Simeon. Simeon and Levi are two of a kind. Their weapons are instruments of violence. May I never join in their meetings. May I never be a part to, this is their father putting a curse on them. May I never be a party to their plans. For in their anger, they murdered men. They crippled oxen just for sport. A curse on their anger, for it is fierce. A curse on their wrath, for it is cruel. I will scatter them. There are many families that are like the Simeonites. They can't seem to gather. The family is scattered. Brothers don't see eye to eye. Sisters don't see eye to eye. The family can't come together. There are many marriages that are scattered. Husband and wife don't see eye to eye. In Deuteronomy 33 now, let me return to Deuteronomy 33, where you will notice very well, when Moses was dying, in the book of Deuteronomy 33, the tribe of Simeon was missing. Study it. That was the only tribe that was not mentioned. That was the only tribe. Do you know why? Because of Genesis 49. By the time of Moses, nobody was anybody in the tribe of Simeon. Nobody was anyone. They couldn't gather to be a community. They couldn't gather to be a family. They couldn't gather to be a tribe. They could not gather. They were scattered everywhere. They couldn't gather. I pray for you. And you know more, Shataya, whatever makes your family to scatter all over the place, I delete it by fire in the name of Jesus. Whatever scatters your household, I take authority. I command it to fall by fire in the name of Jesus. I take authority and I declare Holy Ghost fire in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost. The family can gather. Children can gather. And the tribe of Simeon was missing. And God didn't put Jesus in Reuben, among the Reubenites. Didn't put Jesus with the Levites. At least the Levites. He didn't. He didn't put Jesus in the Simeonites. And he brought Jesus to Judah. Why? Let's look at it and go home. If you think the family is not important. That's why you and I must enforce redemption. There are many believers. Even though they are born again, they don't look like the born again they profess to be. They look opposite. Because they are not enforcing redemption. And God decided to choose the tribe of Judah to place our Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Genesis 49 from verse 8 to 12. I read quickly. Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will grasp your enemies by the neck. All your relatives will bow before you. Can you see that? If it was not important, why did God go to choose Judah? He said, all your relatives will bow before you, Judah. Judah, my son, is a young lion. That is why Jesus is the tribe of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah is a young lion that has finished eating his prey. Hey, may your enemies fall before you in the name of Jesus. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter, speaking of leadership and rulership, will never depart from Judah. Did you see that? Nor the ruler's staff from his descendant until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. This is speaking about Jesus Christ now. So somehow, prophetically, Jacob began to speak about Jesus without even him knowing. Began to talk about Jesus. And God saw that prophecy by Judah, by Jacob, and said, Jesus, come into Judah. Because there's already a prophecy waiting for you in this tribe. And the Bible continued. Let me finish it. It's a powerful scripture. He said, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor, he ties his foals to a grapevine. The court of his donkey. Remember when Jesus entered into Jerusalem? The court of a donkey. Remember the triumphant entry of Christ. This was one of the prophecies. To a choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine. His robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine. And his teeth are whiter than milk. So the Savior landed in the tribe of Judah. Child of God. It was a well-calculated move by divinity to make sure that the Savior of our soul didn't have to arrive where there was stony ground, where there was thorns that could have potentially choked his assignment on the earth. Friends, you're a great seed. And I want you to use these 3 days. If you have never done anything for yourself, do for your children. So that on your deathbed, when you look at, you can see how you have paved the way for these children. I said to myself, my kids will not have to go through what I went through. There's no textbook these children want, I won't buy for them. There's no textbook. I never had textbook. I didn't know what textbook was like. The last time I saw textbook was primary one. Grade one. Before the children arrived with no limitations. Every time, textbook, you say, I don't know, I'm gonna challenge it. And I said, God, this rubbish will stop with me. That's why Daniel will never, have to need textbook. And I tell them, I'm gonna challenge it. That the least I will give to them is master's degree. I'll take care of it. As early as grade four. I started saving towards their university degree. Every year I pay their school fees. You know, I pay Zoe's in University of Johannesburg. I pay, you know, annual fees. She's in medical science. I pay. She's in the Department of, you know, Medical Science. I pay ahead. Just keep going. Your job, your own job is to be passing. My own job is to be paying. I could have kept quiet and said, well, whatever's going to be is going to be. And my children will suffer the same thing I suffer. Then the next generation, when they pray, they say, ah, God, what kind of grandfather did you give us? Who didn't rise to pave a way? Who kept quiet? What kind of grandmother did you give us? Who could see that things were not right? And then asked, did he even say he was born again? He was born again. He was even a pastor. What kind of a grandfather is this? That didn't at least wet the ground for us. So that when we till the ground, it will not be as hard as it could have been. My friend, if you don't love yourself, thank you, that's fine. But love your children. Love those children. That you're going to tell yourself these 3 days, error has to be corrected. It has to be corrected. I will pave a way for them. That when they look back, they can say thank you for not allowing us suffer what you suffered. Give Jesus praise this morning. Let's rise on our feet. Ayina Morosh, I pray for you. Everyone under the sound of my voice, I decree and I declare, you will fulfill destiny in the name of Jesus. You will accomplish your purpose in the name of Jesus. Whatever thorn is choking you, I declare Holy Ghost fire. I say, I declare Holy Ghost fire. Thunder, Holy Ghost fire. Thunder, Holy Ghost fire.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.